Recordings are started.
Great. Hi, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, evening, or something else, if that's where you are. My name is Jordan Carter. Welcome to the 28th meeting of Work Party 1 in the CCWG Accountability. This is our last meeting, I think, before the meeting in Dublin. It's the last meeting for us to finalize staff or have any further discussions before we have our 12 October deadline for the reading list. I don't know how long the meeting will take, but I'll just remind you of what our purpose is in all of these. We are not here to debate the substantive issues. We are not here to debate the substantive issues. We're here to make sure that our summaries of the public comments, our analysis of the public comments, is an honest and accurate reflection, and that the options we're putting up to the CCWG for further discussion are ones that are based on the input and that we've received in the public comments and the discussions of the group. So I'll say it a third time. We're not here to debate the substantive issues. I will be a little bit firmer than last time in my chairing. If we start lapsing into a substantive debate, I will move us on to the next agenda item. Speaking of agenda items, I could only find updated comments papers on the first two, on the budget power and on the affirmation of commitment. If there are other updated papers floating around on the community forum, on the model mechanism, and on the recall of the ICANN board, I would greatly appreciate them being recirculated on the email list ASAP, preferably in a PDF format, so that the staff can have them ready to go. So you've got a bit of time to do that. The proposed agenda is to do the agenda review, to work through first budget, second AOC reviews, then community forum model recall of ICANN board. If we don't have updated documents for those last three, I don't know that we need to spend a lot of time on them. The point of the second reading call was to assess any adjustments to the documents. I would like to encourage people to recirculate if possible. The third item on the agenda is just to make sure we've got a clarity in our group about what we're going to be pulling together for the 12 October deadline. So what is our kind of work output? And the fourth is any other business. So are there any changes needed to the agenda? I'll take a call on that. And I apologize for my speaking speed. I'll try to speak more slowly. It's 6:30 in the morning. I've been awake for an hour, and I've had a lot of coffee. But I'll do my best. No agenda adjustments. Remember that you can raise anything that comes to your mind in any other business. Right, so let's move to item two, the second review of comments analysis. And the first one up there is the budget power, which our colleague Jonathan Zuck has prepared. Jonathan, the floor is yours to present the changes made since the last discussion. Over to you. Jonathan, I don't know if you're speaking with us, but I, for one, can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
At this point. Now I can, yes.
I am. You can. Okay, good. All right, folks, thank you, and thanks for waiting. I've made a few changes, Shireen's document, thank you very much for that document, Shireen, and Carlos, thank you for your edits as well, because I think we'll be using all of them as we get to the next step of this, which is to address the comments and come up with responses and or tweaks to the plan to accommodate the comments. But as Jordan said, this exercise is meant to be sort of tight and reflect the issues raised by the comments. So that's what I held to. So if you see something that was an issue that was raised that is just left out, then please do let me know, and I'll make sure and get it incorporated into the form. I would say in the areas of areas needing refinement. There was this issue that was discussed in the last call. It was a big ALAC brought it up, which is this number five, which is this issue of a revenue shortfall. And that is that we need to address a circumstance in which the budget actually needs to be decreased because there's less money to spend, and freezing the budget from last year or doing last year plus 10% or something like that would be counterproductive. And so coming up with a solution to that notion of how to decrease the budget, if that's what's necessary, is still an open issue, and so I wanted to get it included into the areas of refinement. Are there any questions about areas needing refinement? All right. So then in the next session on areas of divergence, I fleshed out some of these things a little bit. So last time, if you recall, I mentioned the links comments that were a little bit abstract about whether or not this would be an effective accountability measure. But I've expanded this section here to include the notion that it would be more effective to make use of the cooperative process up front to develop the budget. And also Shireen's suggestion in Los Angeles that the focus should be on the operating plan more so than the budget. So that's sort of in the efficacy section, an area of disagreement. The next section, discrimination and balance of interest, again, this was something that I had mentioned in the context of ALAC and AFRLO, and I've expanded to try and incorporate Shireen's analysis from the board, and it's about this notion of trying to maintain fairness, if you will, and how to capture the board's role. Capture is a loaded word. How to accommodate the board's traditional role as the arbiter of fairness, which may not reflect consensus. So that's where I put that particular issue, is that it's the board's, in Shireen's document anyway, that it's the board's responsibility to impose fairness in its decisions, despite what might be reflected in the community consensus. So that's where I've captured that particular issue, and that needs further discussion. And then on options for CCWG consideration, one of the issues I captured, again, from Shireen's document is number four, which is a defined cause boundaries for objection. So in Shireen's proposal is the notion that on the five-year plan that a broad community approval would be okay, but that there would need to be well-defined sort of standards for objection to the annual budget that would be based on varying from the strategic goals and objectives outlined in the five-year plan. And so that was his suggestion there, and there will be obviously substantive discussion about what the implications of that are, because we've had a lot of conversations about whether or not to give a third party substantive decision making capability, and as soon as we create these standards for review, that we will be putting that decision in someone else's hands outside of the community. So that's a conversation we'll need to have, but again, this number four is my attempt to capture Shireen's suggestion that at the annual level, the community should only be able to challenge the budget if it falls outside of their mission and purpose or the strategic plans that were developed in part of the five-year plan. Number five as well, Shireen has made the point that the five-year plan versus the annual, and that the five-year plan should be subject to community approval, but not the annual budget. And those are the primary changes that I made to the document from last time. Shireen has, in email recently, suggested that I might not have exactly captured the notion of aligning budget with revenue. That's what I tried to do in the revenue shortfall. But he and I can kind of work out a succinct way of capturing that particular concern more accurately if what I had under budget shortfall doesn't sufficiently do it. So those are the changes I have thus far that I hope are an accurate representation of the discussions that are happening via the public comment period. And I welcome questions.
Thanks, Jonathan. I'll leave you to manage the speaking list. According to the Adobe Room, Caboose is ready to go.
Caboose, go ahead.
Yes. Do you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Thank you, and thanks, Shireen, for the changes or suggestion made. But I have one comment on the first issue that he suggested, that the focus should be on the operational plan but not on the budget. Operational plan, strategic plan, and budget, they are three things. They are forcefully and increasingly and considerably interconnected. You could not say that just concentrate on what and less concentrate on the others. You have a strategic plan. Based off a strategic plan, you prepare the operational plan, how to implement that strategy, and you use the budget how to do this operational plan. So we could not make a focus on one. They are interrelated to each other. This is point one. Point two, a clarification that in number five, Shireen or I can mention that the community should have approval of the 5-year plan, but not the annual budget. Does it mean that the community has no power on the annual budget? Or they are talking of the rolling budget and rolling plan that a community could comment on the overall 5 years, but a specific yearly budget or yearly plan? I think community has the right to comment on both, on the overall 5-year budget and overall 5-year operational and strategy plan, as well as the annual one. So I don't think that we could exclude the community, unless I misunderstood what you put in the paper. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. Those are good questions. And your statement at the beginning about the plan versus the budget is well received. But again, I think that falls into the substance category that we're trying to avoid. I just wanted to capture the suggestion from Shireen that we focus on the plan instead of the budget. So I think that will be a topic of discussion in Dublin that we'll have, but I wanted to capture his recommendation. I think that on your second point, there may be a misunderstanding. No one has ever suggested that the community would not have the right to have input into both plans and both budgets. And they already do today, and this is going around the list now, that the community already has an input role into both the long and short-term budget. So the real question is about a veto. And so the board plan, as Shireen represented it, would suggest that the community would be empowered with actual veto power or approval power. And I know, Jordan, that distinction is something that's very important to you. But so the notion of having the last say, let's just put it that way, would exist for the long-term plan, but not for the short-term plan, Caboose. And that was the recommendation that Shireen was making, that the annual budget is so operational, that it's so critical to the day-to-day operations of ICANN, that the board should have the last say on the annual budget, unless the community believed that they were going outside of their mission or outside of the strategic plan. So, in other words, the board recommendation is that the community could object to the long-term plan for any reason, but would need cause that essentially had to do with mission creep, if you will, if the community wanted to exercise some kind of veto power over the annual budget, just because the stakes are higher and it's important to the day-to-day operations of the organization. So again, just capturing the distinction that Shireen is raising and not trying to put a value judgment on it, but that's the discussion that we're having. I hope that's more clear. Jordan, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan, for the explanation. I wondered if you could just repeat for me what it is that you and Shireen are going to work on some language for.
Well, I need to, in his email to me that just came while I was out, he mentioned a couple of things that I didn't repeat explicitly but tried to capture. One is the board must be able to align costs with revenue so that the financial stability of ICANN is not jeopardized. And so I was trying to basically cover that via the revenue shortfall issue, and so I'll have a conversation with him about tweaking that language of revenue shortfall to make sure that I'm capturing his concern. Obviously, there are substantive questions to be answered there because the board has certainly operated, beyond means in the past, and so the stakes of that are in question, but we certainly need to make sure that we're capturing the concern that the board raised. And then the other piece that I think I did leave out is that Shireen suggested the board must retain the ability to do mid-year course corrections and add new things to the budget if something urgent matters came up. And I'll try to incorporate that language. I think I just left that out altogether. That was an oversight. Shireen, are you on the phone? Do you want to just speak rather than write?
I am on the phone. I just want to respect what was said about the purpose of the meeting is just to make sure that we accurately reflect the comments. I don't want to enter a discussion of substantive issues. You mentioned the 2 points, and I'm happy not to waste everybody's time and just make sure the language is in the comments paper. So I'm okay. But I'm happy to discuss outside this meeting with anybody who wants to discuss the budget. Thank you.
And I'm sure we will on the list. And I will follow up with you to make sure that I've accurately captured your concerns.
Okay. Thank you.
Alan, please. Grace, Alan, before you speak, Grace, do you have an administrative issue?
Yeah, Jonathan. I was just wondering if this is considered an action item and if you have a date in mind that you'd like the item to be delivered on.
Oh. those are very good questions, and it's only 10 minutes old in my mind. I will try to go through Shireen's email. We will try between us to clarify his points by the by Monday.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. Just a question. The issue that I raised a number of times, I think others as well, of how do we handle the case of budget shrinkage, and freezing the budget or increasing it does not really address that really well. And I don't think that has been captured here.
Yeah. So I added it in number 5 in the first section under revenue shortfall, where it says, Alex suggests there will be times when the budget must be decreased and freezing the budget in previous year's level might be fiscally irresponsible.
Okay, sorry, I missed that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? All right. Pretty
Thanks.
Painless. Shireen, I'll turn around some language to you for you to approve for capturing your concerns.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Jonathan. I'm planning, we'll come to this more in a later item, but I'm planning to spend Monday afternoon, evening in London next week collating all the stuff. So when you do have a revised text, which would be good if you could circulate the list before Sunday UTC, it would be great if you could do that in a Word doc and in a PDF.
Happy to do it.
Cool. Thank you. Okay, thanks, Jonathan. Thanks, everyone. I really appreciate your support in restraining yourselves from the discussion on the substantive issues. It's good. If we'll get this call done in a very manageable time. The next item on our agenda is the affirmation of commitments paper, which Mr. Del Bianco circulated an updated copy of 10 or 11 hours ago, I believe, And that's on the screen, and Steve's on the call, so I will hand the call over to Steve. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Jordan. Steve Del Bianco with the CSG. Staff has been kind enough to load directly to page 5 and item 1 because we've already been through much of the affirmation review on our previous call. We just need to conclude today. So this is a discussion that can probably take 10 minutes or less if we manage to avoid substantive debates and just focus on the question that we're going to put to the rest of the CCWG. Page 5 is the only area of the affirmation reviews that we believe needs consideration by the full CCWG. All the prior 4 pages, both divergence as well as clarifications, we agreed to on our last call what the action of Work Party 1 needs to be. So the first item on here is an important one. It's a commitment that's in the bylaws on Draft 2 that, quote, ICANN would ensure that it is, as it expands the TLD space, it will adequately address issues of competition, consumer trust, security, stability, resiliency, sovereignty rights, rights protection, malicious abuse. Now, that's in the AOC. What we added in our second draft in paragraph 575 is the second sentence you see in front of you. It says, subsequent rounds of new GTLD should not be opened until the recommendations of the previous review required by this section have been implemented. And that was a feeling that several people in WP1 pulled together in the months of June and July before we published our second comment. It was seen as a way to operationalize the commitment that was in the top part of the AOC commitment by ICANN. The board filed a public comment saying they did not support that. They said it would bar or be a barrier to entry for those who would have to wait to get the new GTLD round underway. And then the board subsequently expanded on its comment by giving some text to Rinalia Abdulrahman, and Rinalia forwarded 2 separate emails to all of us in WP1. To make life easy for you, I had those on the email I circulated today, and I've embedded here on the document in front of you the essence of what the board is recommending by virtue of expanding upon their comments. And I should say, in fairness, the registry constituency had contacted us as well, even though they did not file a public comment objecting to this paragraph in the affirmation review. They have subsequently agreed with the board's view that that's an inappropriate restriction on the next round. So on the screen in front of you, and thanks, Brenda, for arranging it there, I highlighted in yellow the essence of what the board wants to do, which is the board wants the discretion to decide which of the review team recommendations would be implemented before it moved forward with the next round. So it's about board wanting to preserve discretion. And the rest of Rinalia's text there are assurances from the board, even though they don't have the effect of bylaws, and they have no effect at all unless they show up in a board resolution. These are what the board is suggesting to us. Now, let's scroll down a little bit lower to see what it is that the board is recommending through Rinalia. Thank you. It's right here at the top of page 6. Rinalia's latest email suggested the board would propose that we drop the language requiring the implementation of all of the CCT recommendations and instead require that the review team include in its report that it designate each of its recommendations, suggesting either it's got to be done before the next round or it could be done in tandem with, that is to say, not before the next round. Now, those are just recommendations, and the board reminds us that it would make its decision on the recommendations based on input from the review team as well as the community and staff. So, again, this is the board reminding us that review team recommendations are only recommendations. We force the board in the bylaws to consider and begin implementation, but the board cannot be required to adopt and implement every single recommendation that comes out of a review team. So I wrote here in yellow, the WP1, that's us, proposes blank because I don't know what we want to propose. But the question we would put to our brethren in the bigger CCWG, don't scroll down yet, just yet, Brenna. The question we would put to the full CCWG is retain the language that subsequent rounds have to wait until implementation, or the board's proposal of having the review team indicate its preference before the board decides. So those are the 2 options. we don't want to have substantive review about which option you like or don't like. I'm asking you and WP1 if anybody objects to us presenting it that way to the full CCWG. So I'll take a cue on that. And if anybody needs me to clarify the two choices we're going to put, I'm happy to do that. All right, I see no objections. So we are going to put to the full CCWG the choice of retaining our current language or adopting the board's presentation. I'll try to turn the board's two sentences into a standard bylaws language. All right, we have just two other quick items for presentation to the full CCWG. Number two on the screen in front of you, Brenda, scroll number two up to the top, if you don't mind. Thank you. This is about the review team composition. Avery, Alan, a bunch of us in WP1 worked hard to come up with a consensus, a compromise, if you will, on how to construct a review team. I'm part of the GNSO, and I can tell you that this is not the ideal composition of a review team because it limits the GNSO to just three members of a review team. And sure enough, members of GNSO have come back and suggested that it's inappropriate to limit to just three. So we have asked staff to give us a report on what were the numbers and where did they come from for the prior affirmation of commitments review teams. And there's been four of them already, so we ought to be able to get some data. I'll ask right now whether anyone on staff can say when that data might be available to WP1. So anyone on staff, just please answer.
Hey, Steve, this is Grace. I went ahead and submitted that information to the WP1 list, and I got no feedback, so actually I was wondering if anyone had received it.
Thank you, Grace. We probably all received it, and at least speaking for me, I missed it in the fire hose flood of emails that have been coming through in the last several days. My apologies, Grace.
No problem.
I will look at that, and I will insert the data here. If we had the data, I'll insert it right there because we want our full CCWG to consider the data that Grace gave us in terms of which of the options we want to put in our report. So in yellow, even if it's just a straw man, I've put in here the WP1 would recommend, this is in response to the comment, that the full CCWG consider an option that would allow the chairs of the ACs and SOs to select more than just three from any single AC or SO if any of the 21 total member slots were not requested by those other ACs and SOs. So that would have the effect of still limiting the review team to 21, but considering that there are times that some ACs and SOs send nobody, that there'd be an opportunity to add more from a particular group. And for something like the new GTLD program, you can bet there will be plenty of people in the GNSO and probably the ALAC who would love to have more people participate on a review team where there's a lot of work to do. So I'll take a cue on that. I see Caboose and Alan so far. Again, please don't debate the substance of this, but rather whether this is the way to present it to our friends in the CCWG. Go ahead, Caboose.
The substance. But okay. I need clarification. What do you mean that if one AC or SO does not designate people, the others it could have, doesn't it change the balance? Thank you.
So, Caboose, obviously, if there's 21 people total, and the RSSAC doesn't send any names at all, then the review team would be three short. To accommodate the public comment, the option we're going to present would say that if another AC or SO, say the ALAC, offered four people, that all four of the ALAC could make their way onto a review team. And when you talk about balance, I'm not sure exactly what you mean because we want 21 people to do a lot of the work on these review teams. The review teams are supposed to come up with consensus recommendations, and if they don't, they have to report the degree of consensus or dissent for every one of their recommendations. And when it comes to balance, remember that some of these reviews focus very tightly on GTLD issues and have no impact at all on things like the CCNSO, and they have no impact on the ASO. So if GNSO constituencies have more interest in this, they ought to be able to participate greater. That's the idea. Thank you. Alan?
Thank you. My only concern is with the word requested. ACs and SOs generally do not request slots. They endorse a certain number. They endorse candidates, and they may be endorsing five candidates even though they are not requesting five slots. So,
Alan, can I point you to the paragraph at the top of the screen, which you and I and everyone else in WP1 put into the second draft? It says each SO and AC may suggest up to seven prospective members for the review team. So maybe the word was suggest, not request. But they can suggest up to seven, and we're saying that more than three could be picked if there were openings. And I can use suggest.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is the AC and SO provides candidates. They don't ask for the number of slots, and therefore that...
We agree.
You know, the word requesting, I think, is the problematic ones. Are, you know, if more, if any of the 21 member slots are not allocated to the other ACs, SOs, that
that's fine, Alan. If that'll help be clear, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, because it, as the selectors, they may decide for a given review team that we don't need the 21, that you know, 15 good people is going to be more than enough to do the job properly.
All right. Look forward to working the data into this.
Yeah,
so I don't see any other hands up.
Okay,
so
thanks.
Folks on the call are comfortable with us presenting it this way as a recommendation for the rest of the CCWG to consider. And the alternative, if you don't accept the recommendation, is to fall back to what? To what we published on our second draft, which is a strict 21 total with no more than three from any group. All right, thanks, everyone. Brenda, number three, which is Article 18 of the ICANN bylaws. And the reason we talk about it on the affirmation team is that the affirmation of commitments, item 8B, was a commitment by ICANN to remain in the United States, and it dovetails with an existing ICANN bylaw as well as the Article of Incorporation. So this is touching multiple groups. Our group, another WP1 subgroup that Keith Drazik's working called Fundamental Bylaws, but it also affects some of the work that's being done by WP2. So I'm not positive that we will be the only one filling this into the CCWG, but I have recommended at the bottom, scroll to the yellow, Brenda, please. Scroll up a little bit more. There it is, right there. WP1 believes this should be considered by the full CCWG since it is a matter being discussed in WP2 and in the Fundamental Bylaws Group. In the text above, I delineated how we, in the second draft, had suggested it did not need to be a fundamental bylaw. That's still the fallback position if the full CCWG does not want to change it. Any comments on that one? Fantastic. The next one, Brenda, we don't even need to discuss very much. I simply highlighted the fact that the beginning of each and every AOC review starts off with sort of a commitment, since after all it was the affirmation of commitment. Those commitments in our second draft report were all supposed to make their way into a bylaws-level commitment, although not part of mission and core values. Some commenters in the second draft went back and said, well, wait a minute, we ought to put them, these commitments, into the mission and core values. So what I did to tee it up for everyone to look at is on the left column is exactly what we have in the affirmation of commitments, and in the right-hand column identifies what piece of that constitutes a commitment from ICANN, not just a promise to do a review. And so the yellow text at the bottom simply says that we think this should be considered by the full CCWG since it's a matter also being discussed in WP2 since they're managing core values and mission statements. All right, with that, Jordan, unless there's any other questions, I think we have a document that's nearly ready to go. I can get these final edits turned around in just about 10 minutes. Right, and
thanks,
so Jordan.
Thank you, Steve. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was reading the text you put in the chat, Jordan. If any of you have other comments that you didn't have a chance to speak on the last two times we've discussed the AOC, this is a great time to bring it up. I know Ranalia was not on the call, but I certainly hope that she will consider that we gave very fair treatment and presentation to the board's comment and proposal. Okay, thank you, Jordan. I think we're done.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you all. It did seem a fair achievement, but hopefully Rinaldi will be able to add any kind of response on the email list if she does have any concerns remaining. So thank you for that work through. I realize, everyone, that when we go through these, sometimes we move through at quite a pace. So as we go through each talk, again, we'll do this kind of last call at the end again. The next one, I think, is Community Forum, and I don't know whether this is an updated document or not, and I do not see Matthew Shears on the call. Staff, is this the same document as last time, or is it an updated one?
Jordan, it's the same as last time.
Uh-huh. Okay. And we're Matthew Liss. I didn't see any comments that were raised. Can you give us scroll control for this, please, team? Thanks. I didn't recall any major areas that needed amendment here, but my memory may be faulty on that. And Matthew hasn't circulated a revised paper and isn't on the call. So shall we simply not deal with this item, or is there any point that anyone would like to raise that we can put in the notes and then address to Matt? It's always great to keep moving along if we don't need to. Because there was a reasonable discussion about it last time, and there were some tweaks, I think, to the language. My suggestion will be that I just email Matthew and ask him if there's anything. I think he said an apology for this call. So if you do have any points about the text as you're revising it, please feel free to raise them on the email list. Bernie says he did, but I don't know what Bernie means. Bernie, can you join the audio and just tell us what you mean by he did? Oh, he gave an apology. I see. Yeah, so he's not on the call, and you let us know. All right, so let's move on for now, and then if you do have any comments, pop them on the email list or send them to Matt direct. In that case, the next item on the agenda is the Community Mechanism as Sole Member paper. My impression is that an updated version of that has just been sent around the list and is now on the screen, actually. So
not yet.
It's on the screen, Avery. On my computer, and hopefully Avery will be on yours soon too. When you say not yet, do you mean you haven't emailed it around yet?
I mean, I sent it as you were talking about Matt. I was editing it up to the last minute, so maybe it's gotten there now. That's what I meant by not yet. I had that it hadn't been received yet and wasn't showing yet.
Ah, right. Okay. So
I can start to talk through to it if you want while it's being uploaded.
Okay. Yep. Go ahead, Avery.
Right. Okay. The only material change to the first part, and basically it was an effort to try and include the comments that had been received. The only part to the reporting was to include the raw numbers that had been put out on the list in there, so that though the comment about the subgroup of what various commenters disagreed about with the model, whether it was the vote counting or whatever, it was a comment I had put in when I went back and had been playing with the numbers. I wasn't able to get a coherent enough raw numbers story built in time, so I just cut the comment out at this point since I didn't have a proper analysis to put down. So I've included the raw numbers there. Then there were a couple edits that were gotten, but most of the edits are in areas we're not talking about today, which is the options for CCW. There was the elephant in the room didn't change. And then there were sub-issues with models. So there were various issues on the single model and or designator model that had been brought up. Many of them had been brought up by Shireen. They're in this section. If this isn't the right section, I can move them around. But they were mostly things like reconsider, reconsider, et cetera. So reconsider seemed to be future actions, things we should be doing now, as opposed to the analysis. But if I got it wrong, please tell me. I did it quite quickly. And then there was some of the MEM-based issues that we already had and some that were added. And then there was issues pertinent to either model. At the moment, only one of those came out. And so I was trying to basically capture the comments that people had put in yesterday, plus people had done some this morning, I guess, comments in the text that I tried to take in. And I'm not going through all the comments because that would be to discuss things that we aren't supposed to discuss at the moment. But please, people should check them and make sure that, A, they're in there, and B, they're in there correctly. The document is still open for editing by anyone, so I recommend that people go and suggest edits where they're needed. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery, for taking us on that tour of the doc. Would you like to manage the queue of people, or would you like me to do that?
I'm fine either way.
You do it. You do it.
So which would you prefer? I do it? Okay, Alan, okay. Please.
Thank you. I guess I'm asking about something of was it a comment? I've heard it discussed, but I have not. I don't recall whether it was a formal comment or not. One of the issues that the board or certain board members anyway had with the current model is that there are so few ACs and SOs that are likely to formally participate. And I'm asking, has that been captured, and is it one of the things that we need to consider how to fix? I don't have the.
This is Avery. I believe it has been captured, but you know, we have to look at it. It's certainly something that needs to be considered. As I say, there's certain and several comments about capture, and I believe it's in there, but you know, it may need some tweaking in the wording to make sure it says it the way you said it. But
in fact, I think the ALAC may have commented also on the few number of ACs and SOs. It strikes me as I've been looking at the various alternatives that the difference between the board model and what the CCWG proposed is we ask ahead of time, are you going to participate, whereas the board model basically allows each AC and SO to decide on the fly for an issue. And that may be something we want to bring up to the whole working group, because that may be a way to address what has been viewed as a very significant problem, that is, the stakeholders are not sufficiently representative.
Yeah, thank you. Though we're getting perilously close to actually discussing solutions, in the comments I've got in the last section, 3.1.D was consideration of advice from those SOs and ACs opting out of the decision-making mechanism, so there's several. And within the issues that have been brought up in the sub-issues within the models, and that's 3 in that last section, you'll see several discussions there of moving from voting to consensus or doing consensus this way or that way. So various suggestions have been made, and they've been captured.
Okay, thank you. That's all I want to know.
But please check it to make sure that it's all there. Jordan, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. I was wondering whether actually we should have just as another bullet point in the areas of concern / divergence, something that does reflect that there's already there isn't a bullet point that really says, like in the previous section, areas needing clarification or refinement on page 4, there's a bullet point that says must be a minimum number of SOs and ACs participating for the model to work. To me, that bullet point is kind of the angle in for that point about not enough participation. So I think it's it's there, but I don't think it would be unreasonable to propose some language. Maybe, Alan, you could do that in the Google Doc in the areas of concern / divergence about that topic.
Okay. Thank you. I will.
That's just my suggestion. Thanks.
Yeah. It just dawned on me without debating the models that's one of the strong divergences, and it may be fixable. Thank you.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. And, yeah, as I say, it's in there, but please make sure that the wording actually says it the way it needs to be understood.
Yeah. Avery, can you...
please.
Avery, can you send me a pointer to the Google Doc so I can do that?
Most certainly. Once I have it hand free, I'll actually put it in the thingy, but I'll send it to
you. Thank you.
To you. Okay, Cavus, sorry I came to you and then immediately pulled back.
Can I talk?
Yes, please, and I can even hear you.
Okay, thank you. Avery, thank you very much for the work was done. Another area of difficulty was the way that decision is made at the level of the SO and AC. ICANN board was not in favor of the voting as such, but was much in favor of promoting the consensus approach based on any procedures currently applicable in any SO and AC to arrive at consensus. I don't want to discuss what the consensus is, but that is the issue between voting and consensus. Has it been duly captured and highlighted or not? Thank you.
Thank you. This is Aubrey speaking again. Certainly the issue of moving away from voting to consensus has been. I don't think we have anything in there at the moment that specifically discusses how the ACs and SOs make the decisions internally, but we do discuss what happens after that. Do you believe that something needs to be there for how the decisions are made at the SOAC level or just after that? I'm curious.
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, we have three steps. Step one is petition, step two is forum, and step three is decision-making overall. I'm talking of a step one petition. At the level of the SO and AC, how the decision is made. Is it made by the consensus or made by the voting? In the CCWG, it is talking about the voting. And in talking of simple majority or whatever means voting, but the ICANN board, as far as I understand the document, if I'm not mistaken, they are dealing to go ahead with whatever possibility exists for consensus. I'm talking of step one. I'm not talking of step three, decision making. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I believe it's in there, but please take a read and make sure that it is indeed covered accurately. I believe that is in there. Thanks. Okay. Alan, I see your hand up again next.
Thank you. Yeah, on the issue Cavus just raised, part of our problem here is nomenclature. I believe the substantive difference that has been raised or the issue that has been raised by the board in this case is not voting as such, but how one but coming to a consensus, the how one arrives at consensus may be a voting method, but that's internal to the ACSO. I think the substantive difference is they are disagreeing with the decision we made way back in Frankfurt, I think, to allow an ACSO to subdivide its votes. That I believe by saying the ACNSO must reach consensus, they are saying the outcome can be yes or no, not subdivided. And I think that is the substantive difference, not necessarily the method by which that decision is arrived on. So I don't know whether that's captured or not, but I think using the word consensus has obscured what they were really getting at. That is, the ACSO must come to a decision as opposed to a fragmented range of decisions.
Okay, thank you. I think it's certainly not covered down to that level of detail. There is a discussion of the whole decision-making process and consensus and voting, So perhaps when you're looking at the text, you may want to tweak it, and I'll look at it to try and bring out a little bit more of that detail. Although I'm not taking really good notes while I'm talking at the moment, but I'll look at it later. Okay, thank you. Okay, one hand went away, but Cavus, your hand is there. Thank you.
Yes, ahead. I'm sorry. The issue raised by Alan is not the case. We are not talking of a splitting of the vote in particular community, SO and AC, in ALAC or in GNSO. We are talking of the level of the community decision-making, where there would be a voting procedure are currently in the CCWG by majority or simple majority, or whether it would be on consensus. So Alan raising a different issue, and I don't think that we should mix them up together. So I cannot agree with what he says that I am addressing. I'm addressing another issue. I'm not addressing the split of the vote within the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. Yes, I understand that. I'll make sure that we keep them separate. Alan's issue is more one about how the SOs and ACs make their decision itself and are actually more pertinent to a voting mechanism. Yours is more the replacement, I think, they're saying, the replacement of a voting mechanism, a consensus mechanism. Jordan, please.
Thanks, Avery. I just wanted to sort of say for the record my understanding, which was that I thought the board was, and a number of other people were, talking about two things. The only reason we allocated votes, if you recall, in principle, was A, to let SOs and ACs express some of their internal diversity in their decision-making. So if there wasn't a consensus within the SO and AC, they could represent that by sharing votes out in ways other than everyone supporting one thing. And the other one was to distinguish voting weights between various classes of SOs or ACs, so giving more weight to some than others. I think the board suggestion was that neither of those were necessary or appropriate. So they thought that an SRAC should come to a decision about whether or not it wanted the power exercised, and each should count as the same weight, and that the decision-making process among the SOs and ACs would be by consensus with thresholds to be defined. So that's, I think, what is noted here. I don't think anyone has tried to say, hey, GNSO, instead of your procedure that you've worked on and know how to use, you have to vote like this. I don't think anyone's trying to do that.
Thank you. Yes, I understand. And I think that is reflected in what's here. But again, you know, people should read it and make sure. Thanks. I see no other hands. Does that mean, obviously it means there's a lot to be discussed. But yes, thank you. I needed another hand. Thank you.
Thanks. I put it up whether you needed it or not. In looking at the very kind of almost at the end of the paper, page 6, under MEM-based issues, I don't see a discussion there about decision-making issues for the community. And frankly, I'm having a little trouble recalling exactly how or if the board suggestion, which we're calling the MEM-based model, dealt with kind of the decision factor. So I see it discussed under 1A, under the single member and single designator model, variety of challenges, but not sure what, if any, consideration or discussion we need to have about how decision making is made in the community in the MEM model.
Thank you. I will add that. Thanks. I see no other hands. Does that mean I should turn things back over to Jordan now? Jordan, I turn it back over to you very much, everybody.
Thank you, Avery, and thank you, everyone. It's shaping up as quite a good paper, and so I think it'll give the CCWG a good guidance for the issues that have been raised and the discussion that needs to happen. So thank you to you and Robin and to everyone who's helped with the discussion and helped with adding some comments in the Google Doc. Avery has pasted the Google Doc link into the chat channel, and it's also in the notes, discussion notes pod to the right of the screen in your Adobe room. So that's that item done. The next item on our agenda is the call of the ICANN board item, and Greg Shatton has circulated an update to that paper and is going to present it to us. I'd like to, just while that's loading, just intervene to say that we've recirculated the info from Grace on the composition of ATRT review team, and assuming that we have time, which I think we will, we'll get her to do a little presentation on it and then have some discussion. So we'll do that as the first item in any other business. But for now, Greg, the floor is yours on the recall of the ICANN board.
Thank you. It's Greg Shatton here, and we're actually looking at the third version of the analysis of the power of recalling the entire board. If we could turn, or if each of you could turn, to page 5, this is really where the first substantive change, other than removing some bad spacing, takes place. In the seventh area of concern and divergence, I went back to the underlying comment in trying to clarify what this meant. The online public comment tool, while an amazing effort, doesn't always reveal the subtleties of some of the comments completely. And I was able, in going back to that, I realized that actually I had not captured the comment correctly. This comment stated that while they supported the CCWG's plan to establish standards for removal of a board member or the entire board in Workstream 2, that the CCWG should establish a basic outline of minimum standards for board removal as part of Workstream 1. So I'm not sure whether this is duplicative of the paper on recalling individual board members, but in the chance that it is not, I've left it in here and corrected it to accurately reflect the board member, the commenter's position. If there are any comments on this, see your hands, but seeing none, I'll move on. The remainder of the changes are on pages 6 and 7 in the section on options for consideration. And what I've added here is what you see in underlines and primarily in italics, which is somewhat commentary, if you will, on the options that were presented by the commenters. So we had a couple of comments that we lacked standards for selection of the interim board, at least that there were no standards set out in the paper, which led some to believe that there would actually be no standards for selecting the interim board, which, of course, is unlikely at best. But we want to dispel that type of concern. So what I've stated here in response to some specific suggestions that were made by commenters that the following. The second draft is silent on selection standards for the interim board, except to note that the geographic diversity requirement will be waived. CCWG may wish to consider revising its proposal to state that standards for the interim board will be the same as those in place for the ICANN board, other than the requirements relating to geographic diversity. I realize in reading that that depends on the idea that there actually are standards for the ICANN board, which I'm not exactly entirely sure currently exist. if anybody knows whether or not they exist, and thus whether this comment makes sense, that would be helpful. But I will take a hand, couple of hands, first from Alan Greenberg.
I'll let George speak first because I think he'll probably cover it with more accuracy than I can.
George? George, you may be on mute. I see the red slash through your microphone.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Have you checked the bylaws?
I have not yet checked the bylaws, though I read them more often than I care to admit.
you will find parts of the bylaws which talk about the requirements or the standards for directors.
Good, then my instincts are correct. There are standards, and we can continue to rely on them in the selection of an interim board.
Yeah. Yes.
Alan, anything further, or are those hands now?
While George was talking, I pulled up the bylaws. We're looking at Article 4, Section 3, Section 4, and the international representation, which is the diversity, is Section 5. But in my mind, there's an absolute requirement that we be explicit that the Section 3, Section 4 qualifications must be met. I mean, they include things like you can't be part of a national government. There's a whole bunch of things that are really crucial to ICANN, so we cannot ignore them and should explicitly cite them. Thank you.
So your suggestion, Alan, then, is to go beyond the general mention here to explicitly cite in our suggestion.
Well, no. I don't say we have to cite the bylaw reference, but we should say that the normal requirements as specified in the bylaws do apply with the exception of international diversity.
Okay, then I will add as specified in the bylaws in my offline copy of this document. And that will take care of that. Seeing no further comments on number one, we'll move to number two, which is based on a note that the commenter failed to see any consequences listed or discussed in our paper if the community doesn't satisfy the goals, principles, and deadlines that are part of the process. So I merely note that the CCWD should consider what consequences, if any, would attach if particular goals, principles, or deadlines are not met. This would probably require parsing the various goals, principles, and deadlines to determine if there are what the consequences would be. Overall, maybe likely that they would be failure of the process. But in any case, we're reporting this out to the CCWG. Jordan?
Yeah, I was just going to say, Alan. Greg, sorry, I agree with you that the consequence of failure to meet the deadlines in any of these processes is that they fall over, they become inoperative. And as for the goals and principles, this is a process that we're setting out, and there are goals and principles behind that logic and why we'd set it up. And if it gets implemented, it's up to everyone who's using the process to imply their own goals for it, aside from the general factor that it's been agreed as an accountability tool. So I don't think this is something, personally, that the whole CCWG does need to consider. I think that other than clarifying in all of our powers that if the timeframes aren't met and the power falls over, that's all we need to say, in my opinion.
Thank you, Jordan. I can change this to reflect that. Any other comments on this one? I do agree with you on those. The next comment, which in some way relates to this one, is that we should make some or all of the time periods less rigid. One one commenter expressed concern that the 120-day period for selection of the replacement board might not be sufficient. And rather than having the consequence be some failure, at that point we only have a replacement board, so what the consequences would be unknown. Would the board leave? So, you know, to make that a target rather than a deadline. And then another commenter expressed a more general concern that tight timelines could open the process to capture. And while they didn't specify exactly how that would happen, I assume it relates to the ability, the unequal ability to respond to tight timelines from different parts of the community. So, again, that may be a reason to relax timelines somewhat. So that's something that we should consider. Alan?
Yeah, thank you. One thing I that has been mentioned, but we never talked about it, is the implication of the 120 days. Does that mean that the interim board resigns at 120 days, if not before, which could imply the board is severely understaffed if the 120-day target has not been met by, you know, the majority of the community, including the NOMCOM? So I think we need to be explicit. If we have a date that is anything other than a target, I think we need to be explicit about what happens at that date. And I think logic says that we cannot simply have the interim board disappearing if it hasn't been replaced. So
I think that's correct. The interim board would need to stay on so long as the full board wasn't selected, you know, subject to gaming and capture through attempts to keep the interim board in place longer than it should. But that's kind of getting down to a bit of a rabbit hole. Jordan?
Thanks, Greg. The 120 days is 4 months, and I'm pretty sure that we had suggested that as part of the implementation for Workstream 1, one of the obligations would be, firstly, on the SOs and ACs for their seven directors, that they have a kind of emergency, quote-unquote, process that they can exercise to select directors within that time frame, and that the NOMCOM would make arrangements to be able to place some interim people. So I agree that we have to be clear that the interim board wouldn't vanish, but it seems to me to be highly unlikely that we want the interim board to hang around for a year or 2 years or whatever feels comfortable for it. The idea is some time pressure. So if the idea is some time pressure, maybe we should say that in the report and say what it is that we, the community, will need to do as part of the implementation. We do need to be clear that the board won't fall over at a 120-day limit.
Thank you, Jordan. I think what the concern of the original commenter was, what happens on day 121, or, you know, is there something wrong with selecting the full replacement board only on day 137? So I think the idea was to keep the time pressure on, to aim for 120 days, but not to have a rigid, not to have a consequence if there is a small failure, a relatively small failure to meet that timeline dead on. Tijani?
Thank you, Greg. Tijani speaking. Jordan said what I wanted to say, but I want to emphasize some things very, very important. The interim board hasn't to stay endless. 127, it is the same. Yes, it's the same. But where you will put the bar? If we don't manage to have the replacement board after 127, what will happen? So we need a deadline. We need a limit. If we don't have a limit, we may go very, very far. And this is, I don't think this is acceptable for ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Tavus?
A bit unclear. So we have to see all the circumstances conditions. You need to look at that one. What Tijani says is right, and other people, but there's something to be done. I don't think it's quite clear. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that, you know, in order to keep with the original concept that we're primarily reporting things out, I'll edit this slightly to include both the, you know, concerns that there needs to be a deadline at some point, even if 120 days is only a target, to avoid dragging things out beyond any reasonable time frame. And I think for the rest, the discussion about whether not having a deadline but only having a target will in fact result in dragging things out beyond a reasonable time frame or not is a discussion we can have in the full CCWG. We just need, yes.
My apologies for interrupting, but I just wanted to remind you that we need to be making sure that the issues are raised for CCWG discussion rather than discussing them, and we're lapsing a little bit into the discussing them mode.
Yes, that's just I was trying to steer us away from that as well. The next point was that one commenter thought that there was no that there was a potential for a failure to agree on interim directors. So I think we just need to review the interim director selection process to ensure that it won't result in a failure to agree on interim directors. Since I believe the interim directors are selected by each part of the community that selects directors, that would seem to be, to some extent, a problem within communities. It may not be possible to ensure that this happens, but again, as with other, you know, issues, if the community can't put together a slate of replacement of interim directors, we can't remove the board. So the consequence, I guess, would be a failure to be able to move forward on replacing the board. But we can, again, leave that substantive discussion to this full CCWG. Caboose?
So what you said, if I understood correctly, it means that from the moment that we decide to recall the entire board, we should think of the interim board, and once the interim board is selected or elected with the number that is required, then we will go ahead to recall the board. Otherwise, we may be facing a position that one or several or some SONAC, which have the right to designate the directors, may not reach any agreement to do so. Therefore, we have recalled the board, we have no board, and then we have no interim board. So we have to connect these two together. There should be no pause of non-board, whether it's standard or whether it's interim. So we have to think of that situation that these are interconnected. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. I think we've actually, I may not take the time to find it right in the call, but I think that is actually the way that it's set forth in our suggestion. I see here it says that actually, at the top of page, toward the top of page 2, where I've excerpted the second report, it says, as previewed above, in the event that the threshold is met for a recall of the entire board, simultaneously with that vote, directors to serve on the interim board will be selected automatically. The interim board will consist of the group of candidates that each SO and AC was required to provide by the end of the discussion period, and it would replace the ICANN board upon the threshold being met for recall of the entire board. So, again, implicit in that is if the SOs and ACs cannot all supply the required interim board members, we can't move forward and recall the board. Jordan, does that satisfy your concern about going back to the original report? Okay, so it is an item to consider.
Yeah, sorry. I was just recognizing that some of the confusion can be answered in people's minds by just rereading what we'd already proposed. We'd already proposed something that dealt with that. But I think that, there is no potential for failure to tribunal in some directors, because if they haven't been selected, then the replacement can't happen. Already dealt with. But I think that the way you framed it isn't inaccurate there, so I don't mind it staying in that list at number 4. And I also think the way you've done number 6 is fine as well.
Let's deal with that. So 4 will stay as it is. 5 did not change. 6, all of a sudden my scroll has gone out of my control. 6 relates to the earlier comment that I reviewed and changed, which was the suggestion to establish a basic outline of minimum standards in Workstream 1. So I've just expressed that in narrative form, that the CCWG should consider whether to establish a basic outline of minimum standards for board removal as part of Workstream 1, rather than leaving this entirely to Workstream 2. So I think that's self-explanatory, and really no commentary necessary before this gets to the CCWG. So with that, I'll see if there are any hands on this paper generally. George.
Hi.
Thank you. Greg, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Just a point on the minimum standards. This is, of course, a critical point, and if we can get it right, then I think we have a chance of coming to agreement. I would say, and the basic outline of minimum standards sounds like a patch. It sounds like, well, we'll get something in there so that we know what we're talking about. I would argue that it maybe we should go for more than a basic outline of minimum standards. I don't know what that implies in the language, but to make it less than a temporary thing. It looks temporary. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you, George. Anything else from anybody else? Again, this is primarily intended just to report out the comments. So our commentary on the comments is of secondary importance, though obviously it's helpful, hopefully helpful to frame the discussion as it goes into the full CCWG. But at the most, it should frame the discussion. Alan?
Thank you. Yes, we're here to report the comments, but at the same time, if we find a fatal flaw that was ignored by the original CCWG proposal, such as meeting the bylaw required comments or criteria for directors, we have an obligation to bring it to the attention.
Yes, hopefully we're doing that.
Greg.
Yes,
thank
George.
You.
Thank you
for doing that work for us and for representing it back. It doesn't look like there are any more hands, so you might be done.
Thank you. I'll turn it back to you, Jordan.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, everyone. I think we're pretty much there. Once again, if there's any issues to raise on the list, raise them on the list with that or any of the other documents. The next item on our agenda, then, and thank you for sticking to that, mostly not debating substance, once again, people. The next item on our agenda, item 3, is the approach to documenting our work for the 12th of October deadline. My suggestion, which I think I made on the list in very brief form, was that we provide 2 documents to the CCWG. One would be that pattern of areas of consensus, areas of clarification, areas of disagreement, and options for CCWG to consider for each of the areas of content that we've done. just in a whole narrative document in the same order as the proposals, so people can easily see what it is. And in that case, I think we'd just keep a little paragraph from the executive summary of the report about what the part of the proposal is. We wouldn't keep the full language as is in some of these papers. And then a second paper, which has the same order, the order of our report, but just the matters for the CCWG to consider, so that people have a shorter document, which is just the issues that need to be resolved. And I'm hopeful that we can try and tease out some of the most important ones, but I think that we have a good sense of what those are. So if people have a different view about the way that we could present stuff, I'd be interested to hear it. To me, that gets all the info available to the CCWG in the longer document, but also gets a very clear statement of the matters that we need to consider and decide in one place as well. So just ask for any comments on that one. Caboose, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
The area on which there is no consensus, and in the second document, the area that we need to have the CCWG decisions, we need to have a brief description of the case on which we require decisions. So we should not just put the title and ask CCWG to decide. We have to have a few lines of description of the case, then put in the box the decisions which is required by CWG, or if we have a recommendation to make, we do it in that. But before that, we need to have a few lines of description and explanation of the case. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. I think that in most cases we do have that. In some cases we might need to add that. And if my hope is, like, I'd like to collate what we've got so far in about 8 hours and circulate it around. And in doing that, I can highlight any areas where there does need to be a bit of explanation developed. And in that case, maybe we can do some quick drafting over the weekend to flesh that out and give the work party time to review it before the Monday deadline. So that's a good idea. Thank you. Steve, you're next. And Steve, I think if you're not on mute, I'm broken. I can't
hear
you saying anything. Sorry,
I was on mute, and that means I was broken. I'm sorry. For the Acclimation Commitments Review Team, we have several items under clarifications and refinements where we said WP1 recommends this response. And that implies we didn't think the full CCWG needed to debate and consider and vote on options. But, of course, the full CCWG may disagree with the WP1 recommendation. Those are the items I put in italics with highlighting, and I think that calls the eye's attention to it. As well, we had a number of items where we presented two options, option A and option B, for the full CCWG, knowing that the full CCWG might go with option C, or might amend what we have. I only need to say this in that for each of those options, we included a lot of context and background so that the CCWG members who look at it don't have to go open our previous second draft report. They don't have to open the public comment tool to dive in and see, but wherever possible, we try to quote and bring enough context in. So I say this, Jordan, because I know you have a wonderful tendency to try to really condense things to keep it short and simple, and if you did so with some of that material I've just discussed, the context would get lost, and we'd end up having to, well, rehash it for the full CCWG when it came time to make a decision. So it's just my appeal to let the document be a little longer if it's, in fact, you know, helpful and clear what the choices are that the CCWG needs to make. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. I take that caution. While I do like things being brief, it's not my intention to make the decision-making process harder, because I think we need to make this work harder for all of us, like we need holes in our heads. So where the context is useful, we keep it. And I think our problem is going to be more needing to add some context, as Kavu suggested, rather than delete it. So I'm going to take that as some basic assent to the the doc, the approach taken. So thank you for that. There's no perfect way of doing this, but it seems like a workable model. Now, as our first any other business item, I'd like to invite Grace to give us a little talk through the composition of affirmation of commitments review teams, ATRT review teams and others. And she's got a paper coming up. Grace, the floor is yours. If we can keep this item to around about 10 minutes, I think that would be great.
Thanks, Jordan. I'll be very brief. I'll leave it for you all to scroll through. What I did was I collected information from a few pages on the ICANN website, and I put those pages on the in the document for you so you can look there for more detail. And, of course, for the CCT review, there is no information yet because ICANN has just launched the call for volunteers and the group will be announced in December. From the first page that I looked at, there is a summary infographic that was on the page, and I thought it would be useful to place it into the document for you all to see. Basically, there's a selection committee, and then there's the membership for the review team that is presented. So I thought it would be good for you to look through that and just get an idea of how the different categories of individuals on the review teams is organized. If you go down to the next page, on page 2, I have a breakdown of each of the composition of each of the review teams that has occurred. And this is what I call the actual composition, because if you look back, for example, at ATRT1, if you look back at the announcement, there was an announcement or an intention for a certain amount of representatives to be on the team. And then in some cases, once the selection took place, there was a modification to that. And the same thing, and then for ATRT2, you'll see that there is also a modification between the two teams, ATRT1 and ATRT2. And so that was, Alan, I think, raised that point today on the call where he said that in some cases, you know, the SOACs may put forth a certain amount of candidates, et cetera, but it's really the selection committee that makes the decision on the balance of the review team. And so when you're looking at this document, that may be something you want to delve into and look at the differences between the different teams. And I'll note that I added at the top the number of total people per team, and you'll see that it's around 15 or 16 maximum, and that includes the ex officio members like Larry Strickling in the ATRT case or the chair of the board, chair of the GAC, et cetera. Independent experts as well. Any questions or comments? Alan, go ahead.
Yeah, my comment is the one I put in the chat, and the reason I asked for the information, because my gut feeling was the numbers were something like this. The highest we've ever had on an ARC review was 13. The average is 12. Those reviews were large enough, that is, when you look at all the people around the table, once you add in the board member and experts and ex officio, that I think our weight, our 21 is way too high. Thank you. And to be specific, if we had 21 plus the others, I think those groups would be completely unmanageable. Thank you.
Jordan, go ahead.
Grace, thanks, Grace. Thank you for the compilation of the information, the presentation of it. I think that will trigger a useful discussion in the CCWG about whether 3 times 7 plus the others is useful or whether we need to shrink it down. But that's not a discussion that we need to have today. So thanks once again for pulling that together.
Thanks, Jordan. And I'll just note that in some cases as well, it based on that summary infographic, the composition changes per type of review. So in security and stability reviews, they had the RSAC and the SAC represented. But in other reviews, you'll see that the RSAC, for example, didn't have representation. Steve, you've also raised your hand. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Grace. Appreciate the document. I took all of your page 2,
and inserted it into the Affirmation of Commitments public comment review so that the full CCWG can see those compositions from page 2. It's not as important to understand page 1 because that was the old style of selectors coming from GAC and ICANN CEO. I also wanted to note that the text that we as a CCWG approved and published in August didn't say 21 members, but a group of up to 21 members. So there's no requirement that they go all the way to 21. And if each of the ACs and SOs only offer one or two each, we might not get anywhere near 21. But thank you, and we'll leave it to the CCWG to consider that.
Thank you, Steve. Alan?
Yeah, two things. Number one, Steve, when you pasted in, may I suggest in that top line you list the total number of people and then the number of people from ACs, SOs. I went and did the arithmetic and got it wrong at least once. So,
Alan, I pasted verbatim what Grace put on page 2.
No, I understand. She doesn't have that. If you look at the chat, the actual number of ACSO people is 13, 12, 12, and 11, and I'm suggesting you should add that because that's the basis of the number we're looking at from the ACSOs. That's number one. Number two, Steve, you're correct that we set up 21, but it's a matter of setting expectations. And, I wouldn't mind saying up to 14 and giving the selectors the discretion to go above, or normally up to 14 or something like that, but I would not want to set expectations that the total group is going to be 21 because that is going to send the wrong message. Thank you.
Okay. Seeing no further hands, I'll turn it back to Jordan.
Thanks, Grace. Thank you very much. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, are there any other items of any other business? Kavus's hand is up. Kavus, please go ahead.
I have two. A question to Steve. Steve, would you like to briefly inform the working party one of the meeting that we have last night, or you don't think that it is necessary? I leave it to you. A second is I would like to thank rapporteur or chairman or convener of Working Party 1 and all the distinguished colleagues that they have worked the preparation of these five or six areas very extensively and very ably, and we thank them very much, and they did a lot of work to facilitate the discussions, and perhaps we will see a further explanation it may be required at the level of the CCWG. These are the two things that still I require to that Steve may think whether there is a need to explain something or he doesn't think that at this stage we would not inform Working Party 1 of the discussion of last night. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. Steve, do you want to give a bit of a brief on that? I think the meeting last night, for those who aren't familiar, was the Plan B meeting with Caboose and Steve and Jonathan and maybe others meeting with the lawyers. Steve, your hand's up. Go ahead. And let's try and keep it snappy and finish in the next 10 minutes.
All right, this will be less than 1 minute since it involves the whole CCWG and not just WP1. Caboose, Jonathan Zook, and I met with our attorneys from CCWG. We explained that that one-page proposal, which includes Plan B, and asked our attorneys to do a grid of the five powers in IRP to tell us about the varying enforceability mechanisms we get if we settled for the board's MEM on the left, if we went to a designator, single designator, in the middle, and if we went all the way to a single member on the right. That's their first analysis, and they believe they can pull that together from work they've already done, but we're asking them to put it in one table. The second part of that is that once they have selected, once we and the CCWG have selected our minimum level of enforceability, we consider whether to add the Plan B, as I described it on Tuesday, and Plan B is the structure of a governance review that could be invoked by a consensus of ACs and SOs, with the opportunity to recommend moving all the way to member because we found the enforceability to be unsatisfactory. And that recommendation, while it could be denied by a three-quarter vote of the board, would naturally trigger a board recall with the intent of electing board members that would move to membership. That's what Plan B was all about. So that we will get from the lawyers sometime early next week some additional analysis and probably 1,000 questions for that debate. And I hope that we have more to say on it next week.
Great. Thank you, Steve. Thank you for the briefing there. I'm not going to propose that we discuss it here because it is for info for the CCWG as a whole. But I appreciate the update, and I'm sure others do as well. Are there any other items of AOB, any other business? Because if there aren't, guess what? We can finish early.
Wow. Really?
And that isn't a hand, is it, Alan? It's a clapping motion, which I appreciate. Hey, thank you, everyone. This has been a good bit of work. I knew that we'd need one more call, and we did, but not quite all of it. Thank you for your efforts. For those of you who are writing up documents, please recirculate them as soon as you can. Please do that in a Word format and a PDF format, or if you're using a Google Doc, a Google Doc link, and a PDF copy of it. I'm not going to be doing anything more on this for about 10 hours, but then I start heading to Europe and so on after that. So see you on the email list, see you on the Adobe Room, and maybe see you in Dublin. Take care, and thank you for a good meeting.
Thanks, Jordan. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thanks, Jordan. Thanks, all.